Hi, I'm Sharad Kutan, and welcome to Let's Talk, the show that brings you the most important conversations of the day. It's coming up to a year since General Election 14, a G14, swept away the Barisan Nasional and put in place the new government, the Pakatan Harapan government. The implications of that power shift are still reverberating today, and help me understand that from the position of somebody coming from the losing side, as it were. I have that Sri T. Lien Kerr. He's the Vice President of MCA and also a member of the Dewan Negara. He's a senator. Thank you so much, Lien Kerr, for joining us. For you, when G14 happened and Barisan Nasional lost, was it a surprise for you?
In a way, because it is, but I've seen the signals whereby former government servants, they are no longer, and I expect an up north tsunami of sort, because the Malays are shifting. And I also foresee that this the shift will be to PAS. And true enough, PAS has successfully managed to divide the votes, of which many Barisan Nasional seats could have been won if there is no three-party. So ultimately, it is a surprise in the sense that I expect narrow victory, didn't expect it to be a loss on Barisan Nasional. So it is a surprise.
Now, you know, it's been a year since that moment. You're thinking about what resulted, or what were the reasons for that loss, as well as the consequences of it. Has that changed? I mean, has that this year been a time for deeper contemplation about the problems of Barisan Nasional, or the nature of Malaysian politics, or the shifting nature of Malaysian society?
I think it's a good thing that change is what many middle class, and I think many thinking, reasonable thinking people want. They want to change. And maybe Barisan Nasional wants to change, but they are not changing enough. The people expect an immediate change. Yeah, especially, even for me personally, a change of government is a good opportunity for us to do some recollection and self-introspection. That what are the changes that people want? I think institutional change. The legal system need to be no interference, or the more independent rule of law, etc. And the change promised by DAP of local government election, I think that will also help to eradicate local authorities abuses, bribery by small traders, etc. I think all these changes must be bring forth as been promised, but it is not forthcoming. And we are reverting back to race-centric. Oh, we cannot have a local election because the Malays are unhappy. The Malays cannot take it, etc. I think this is not true. And DAP or even Pakatan may have to pay a price for this, because I think a lot of semi-urban area, they want the change. They want to see institutional change. They want to see real change. They want to see genuine change. And this is not forthcoming.
Right. What about the politics of Sabah and Sarawak? Did you expect to see such a shift there? Because the gains by the opposition, both in Sarawak and in Sabah, were quite significant. Warisan, while allied to Pakatan Harapan, is, you know, a force on its own, and it now holds the state of Sabah. And both those territories are demanding changes to the way the federation is at least acknowledged in its structure. Do you were you surprised by the Sabah and Sarawak pushback on the federation?
I think the recent proposal to have an amendment to revert back to its original form, again, the more critical Sabahans and Sarawakians are asking, why are they not being informed? Because what they want is the implementation of the social contract of the Malaysian Act, etc., and not just an amendment per se, without engaging them and without knowing what is forthcoming. It's just window dressing. So I think the trust is not there. That's why it was not passed. It was not being approved, because people are doubtful. People are not trusting anymore. People don't believe in politicians, political leaders, and even in the institutions. I think something is very wrong here. So this is a time for Malaysia Baru to regain people's confidence in the system.
Right, so the trust deficit, and we talked a lot about the trust deficit in the run-up to GE40. I want to ask you about Najib Razak. Najib Razak, whose feet many people place a lot of blame, saying that his corruption or alleged corruption and the 1MDB scandal really was the straw that broke the camel's back, at least in terms of public trust in Barisan Nasional. How much do you think that's true?
I think 1MDB was played up such that many people don't understand or don't want bother to understand. And because it was courageously brought up and repeatedly said, so people just accept that Najib Razak is in the wrong. But ultimately, Najib Razak got to take the blame for not doing enough. If he is negligent, or if he overlooks, or if he trusts, like he said recently, he says, okay, if 1MDB is a reflection of the failure of the system, the expertise, the accounts, the auditors, the bankers, etc. So basically, he's trying to shift the blame on institution.
Do you trust him? Do you believe him?
To a certain extent, I think if you know the culture that we have cultivated over the years, people, even institutions, cannot be trusted. And even professionals cannot be trusted. So something is very wrong. This is something which we need to rectify. We need to remedy this to bring back to serious business. Because we justify everything, like that recent bailout, etc. I think this is not what the people want. Because when you start bailing out, then a lot of institutions, they do not fear making a loss.
You're talking about Tabung Haji?
Tabung Haji, MAS in the past, etc. So we're actually going back to the same source of corruption and corrupted culture, sort of patronage, abuse, etc. I think accountability got to come in. We need to be strict and we need to be serious about it to make the institution, the system work. Otherwise, we will always have a question mark. Can we trust? Trust deficit is there. Is it for real, for Malaysians?
Right, okay. We'll take a short break. I'm speaking to Senator Tee Lian Kerr from MCA. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned to Let's Talk. Welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Senator Tee Lian Kerr from MCA. He's also, of course, a member of the Dewan Negara. Let's talk about Barisan Nasional. MCA, because the founding party with the alliance, there was MIC, MCA and UMNO, they were, you know, central to the formation of that particular coalition. And then, of course, after 69, when we returned to parliamentary democracy after a brief hiatus, MCA is still there as a central plank of the Barisan Nasional coalition. Now, the question today is the Barisan Nasional dead? Officially, it's not. It's got your party, MIC, MyPP, maybe or not. I don't know what the status of MyPP is. Mm-hmm. And then, because it's got UMNO there. Then there's PAS. How do you see this recent kind of coming together of UMNO and PAS? And do you think it derails the Barisan Nasional spirit?
You see, we must first acknowledge the political ecosystem in our country. I think MCA founders from the very start, they are supportive of On Hussein,
On Jaffa,
when he wanted a multiracial party.
Right, Parti Negara.
Parti Negara. Okay. But ultimately, they make a decision to work with UMNO because of the reality that Parti Negara do not have the multiracial support. So that is political electorate cooperation. And by doing so, MCA managed to filter or to soften down the UMNO's nationalism along race. And that time, religion doesn't come into play yet. So ultimately, Barisan Nasional is a concept. It's actually a political cushion whereby we sit together and we lash out and we fight it out and we come to a consensus. Unfortunately, somewhere in the 80s, it becomes UMNO-centric. And that is the actually very much duty to Mahathir's leadership himself. He somehow has transformed Barisan Nasional to be UMNO-centric.
Or is it also to do with the fact that at that point, MCA didn't have the monopoly of Chinese support? It had a contender within the Barisan Nasional in the form of Gerakan, Gerakan based in Penang. It also had to contend with the DAP that was doing very well in Chinese majority seats in urban centers. I mean, wasn't that always the problem with MCA, that for the longest time that you had to contend that you're not the only voice of the Chinese community?
Yeah, there is a divide and rule sort of thing going on for the Chinese political voice. And like it or not, MCA has never, because MCA is actually a transformation of Kuomintang. DAP is more socialist, more communism sort of thing. I think a lot of leftists, a lot of blue-collar workers, their sentiment is very much with DAP. And even at one stage, you put anybody there, they will just vote rocket. So the only time the Chinese votes come back to support MCA is during the Indonesia-Malaysia confrontation, aftermath of May 13, the economic crisis where there was rape, abuse in Indonesia, etc. So it's always when there is a crisis, people come back to MCA to give the support because of that security. They want that blanket of security. But to put it this way, in actual fact, MCA has never command the majority support of the Chinese community. There is always this, the Chinese wanted a check and balance. The Chinese have this distrust on the government. This is very much the political psyche of the Chinese. They do not want absolute power, because maybe in their ancient experience and literature, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and and there is always hardship, etc. I think so. Coming back to that, MCA is seen as the establishment. MCA is seen to be, they need to have a check and balance, and DAP comes into that play. That DAP is the check and balance.
Okay, so let's just accept that premise. The question is today, with the configuration that there is, UMNO cooperation with PAS on one hand, and yet, within the Barisan Nasional, still MIC and MCA representing the two other major minority communities. What leverage do you have? You say MCA plays a moderating role. What leverage do you have when you don't actually have parliamentary heft, when you don't have the ability to say we can mobilize the Chinese community for electoral purposes? Isn't UMNO dominance going to continue?
That is where we want Barisan Nasional, for consensus. As long as any component party do not agree, it cannot be adopted if Barisan Nasional is the government. It's like RUU 355. I still remember when Zahid, as a deputy prime minister, make his statement openly in Terengganu as a testing ground that the government will adopt RUU 355.
This was the amendments to the Sharia Act that will allow for hudud punishment.
Yes, okay. And I insisted that UMNO cannot make the decision. It has to come to Barisan Nasional.
But is that how UMNO sees it, though?
No, but ultimately, they follow. They call for the Barisan Nasional meeting, and it was rejected.
And today, with UMNO and PAS cooperating and seeming to be doing well in electoral terms, won't UMNO be listening to the voices of PAS more than they will to their other, coalition, former coalition members?
I think the political terrain have changed. Nowadays, we have many liberal, moderate-thinking Malays who are able to break away. And if MCA can continue to play the moderating role, I think within UMNO itself, within PAS, there are many moderate thinking people. They may have subscribed to the Islamic ideology, they may subscribe to the race ideology, but they want a more inclusive, a more plural sort of ideology. And I think what we have to do is to contribute towards a new ideology, political ideology, such that this force will be a Barisan conservative. We are conservative. We talk long race, religion, but we talk and we come to a compromise. If we can establish that, then on the other side, no race, no religion. Anything goes. So what they promise and what they do, the people can have a choice to choose between the liberals and the conservative. And having said that...
So when you say conservative and you're saying, you know, acknowledging race and religion, do you mean allowing for hudud? Do you mean allowing for a greater role in the policing of people's private morality? I mean, what exactly do you mean by conservatism?
MCA has always been not agreeable to hudud. We have always said that this is a secular country. This the constitution, the federal constitutions prevail. When we say that conservative, meaning we fight it out. We don't agree. This is a no-no. And as long as PAS can agree to that, then we can say that, okay, there is, we can talk.
Right. In with the Pakatan Rakyat at least, there was a common policy platform which PAS signed on to. This is PAS before it split between Amanah and the current mother party, as it were. And it was very clear what those common ground were. And there was no hudud in that. Does Barisan
Nasional? I have to correct you that Guan Ying actually signed to allow them to have hudud in their states, if PAS rules states.
I don't remember that, but
yes.
Let's just put it this way. So you're saying that MCA would agree to that too. It would agree to a common policy that would include hudud in those states run by Barisan Nasional?
No, as long as it contradicts the spirit of the constitution. The federal constitution. The federal constitution prevails. And I think there's no place for hudud in the federal constitution.
Okay, we'll take a short break. We'll be back with more. Stay tuned to Let's Talk. Hi, welcome back to Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Dato' Sri T. Lian Ke. He's the Vice President of MCA and also a member of the Senate, or the Dewan Negara, as we call it. Let's talk about MCA, the party. How do you plan to rejuvenate the party to the extent that it could achieve electoral success? Because it does seem important in a coalition that a party has representatives, at least, either in the state or federal assemblies, in order to push its own agenda?
Ultimately, as a political party, we must win an election for us to be relevant. At this point of time, we are at the lowest. But MCA, as a structure, as a party, as an organization, we are very much relevant. We are there on the grassroots. Whenever there are issues, there are problems, we have our outreach. And even in certain areas, DAP cannot even find local councillors. They have to approach MCAs because they do not have that content on the grass, on the ground. So coming back to MCA, MCA is an institution. We work, we serve, we have done our very best. And if we cannot get any votes, then something is wrong somewhere. That's why we have to do some soul searching.
What do you think... especially the Chinese community, but not exclusively the Chinese community, because that's not how constituencies are made up. What message does MCA have to bring or create in order to get the votes back? Is it that you weren't doing right, as it were, before?
Basically, it's not that we are not doing right. What we were doing is we were so caught up with servicing the community. We are so caught up with their problem. And Chinese community, their expectation and their demand is very, very high. So we don't make promises, and DAP make promises. So what is happening now, we just have to give time, because the Chinese community, they have made a decision, 90%. They wanted a change. Basically, that is what have driven them to support DAP. But they are not DAP loyalists or supporters. So we just have to give them time to see that what was promised was not delivered. DAP promised to do away with the Bumiputra, non-Bumiputra distinction. But what happened today, we have an institutionalized Minister of Bumiputra Economic Affairs without mentioning Bumiputra.
You're talking about Azmin Ali's portfolio.
Without mentioning. But in reality, in politically, that has been conceptualized. So what is the point of having a finance minister when we are not controlling the economy? So that is one. The other thing is the local government election. DAP promised that. I think that is what many Chinese traders want. Because by having a chance to vote for the local government officers, etc., then they won't be subjected to being bullied or being harassed, etc. I think that goes very well for them.
But so, is the MCA promising to deliver precisely those things? Is it promising to deliver local council elections is it promising to do away with the Bumiputra, non-Bumiputra distinction?
It's not about our promise. It is what I'm saying, what attracts DAP, what attracts the Chinese community votes away from us. So now, putting an apple and an orange, now apple and apple together, then they may gauge who is the actual, which is the actual political party that delivers, walk their talk, and do things sincerely and genuinely, and which party promises empty promises, but actually doing something else the opposite.
So what would you counsel to the Chinese voter? Be pragmatic, do not expect that this distinction between Bumiputra and non-Bumiputra will be done away with in the foreseeable future. Do not expect local government elections, because that's something that UMNO or the Malay parties in Pakatan also don't want. What is it that is the reality check for the Chinese community?
MCA has always exerted, actually even in the past, somewhere in the 80s, we have prepared papers by our think tank INSAP. That time was Michael Yeo, Tan Sri Michael Yeo, Paul Yong. They were talking about, it's time for the affirmative action based on needs and not race. We have always said that. But to be able to do so, today we have a 42 member of parliament and the prime minister have only 12 member of parliament, I think MCA will insist that we have to walk our talk.
So that's the number of DAP to Bersatu.
Yeah, that is, we are talking of numbers. During our time, MCA is so weak, whereas the Prime Minister's party, UMNO, is so powerful and strong. So they can just disregard and walk over you because they don't need your numbers. And we have to continue to be there, despite the fact that after May 13, MCA refused to join Barisan Nasional. But it was on the calling of the guilds and associations, on the traders, etc. They wanted MCA to go in to be the bridge for the Chinese community. So we went in, not because we want to be the minister, but we went in based on the demand of the Chinese community associations. So we are very much intact. And we work closely with the guilds and associations, the Chinese chambers, etc. So that was then. And today, what has happening is the guilds and associations, the Chinese chambers, they are not as powerful as before. So by satisfying what they want, does not cover the demand on the ground. So MCA got to walk out of these pillars of support, and we have to reach out to young minds, young voters, and because they are more open-minded.
What do you think they want?
Basically, to put it politically incorrectly, if I wanted to say that Chinese, basically, they are very practical when it comes to business, social, etc. So they, when they mix with the Malays in business and when they mix with the Malays in the society, they think Malays are very easy to deal with. They think MCA is not doing enough. But when it comes to politics, they fail to understand Malays is a totally different political animal. So after the change, now DAP realized it's not easy to handle. In fact, everything is in the name of race now. I said you cannot because of race. Malays will go berserk. The Rome Statute, the local government, even local government, such, I think it is not true at all. It is not.
But Zuraida has promised a roadmap on that, hasn't she? The minister in charge of local government.
But Mahathir has said, the Prime Minister has a final say. He has said that no, the Malays will not accept that. And I don't see any rebuttal or any dissent from DAP MPs, which in the past, Lim Kek Siang will say, what is MCA minister doing? Why are you keeping silent? But they are keeping silent.
Okay. But finally, in the half minute that we have, are you optimistic about the future, politically, at least for MCA?
I think MCA will always be there. We will be there even without seats. Ultimately, it's a question of if it's talking about whether we wanted to follow political expediency, whether we want to play politics or we want to be a political worker, irrespective of the number of seats. The institution is there. We are very institutionalized, very entrenched, and we are an expert in the Chinese community, not playing up Chinese community spirit. Because by playing Chinese community itself, you cannot win an election. Because we are so multiracial and Malays are outnumbering the Chinese now. So MCA has always been multiracial. MCA has always been moderate. It's a matter of branding and letting people recognize the role we are playing under the very challenging environment of race and religious politics, the two R, which we do not subscribe. But we have to go along because this is the political reality in Malaysia now.
Right. Thank you so much for being with me today. I've been speaking to Senator T. Lien Ker from MCA. He's the vice president there. He's also with the Dewan Negara as a senator. This has been Let's Talk. I'm Sharad Kutin, only for Astro Awani.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right.